And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners." So I say to you, there shall be joy before the angels of God upon one sinner doing penance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Many years ago, in fact, a few centuries ago, it was the 17th century, there was a London doctor, a physician, who discovered the circulation of blood and how it works. In a way, you might say, just as Christopher Columbus was the one who discovered so much in his realm, so also this doctor was the Columbus of blood, its explorer, its pioneer. And he wrote a book in a very, very picturesque sort of style. He said that the circulation, he compared it to, circulation was compared to a frail scarlet tree with its tiny tendrils and thicker branches of the blood system extending all over the body. The arteries, which go away from the heart, that he said, seem to be red in color. And the veins, which return back to the heart, seem to be blue. And he explained it. He said that as blood passes through the body, it picks up little pieces of tissue, casts off poisons and various other impurities that get into the bloodstream, and then flows back to the heart, a dull, discolored stream. But the heart, which is, he said, the red pump of purity, cannot tolerate clouded blood. And so it forces this blood into the lungs, and out of the lungs it becomes clear, crimson and clean. That's what he said in the 17th century. The point of telling this story is this, that in the spiritual order, this very thing happens in the confessional. In most churches, we have the two confessionals on each side of the priest, and with the doors are always going open and closed, and it seems as if it were the heart, steady and beating, a rhythmic heartbeat. And then there's a discolored stream, that is the line of penitence that flow up to the confessional, a stream that's been circulating in the world and picking up all of its sins and its pollution. But so tremendous, so great is the power of the Sacred Heart, who works through the ministry of the priest in the confessional, that it sends forth all of those soiled souls clean, pure, and renewed. A beautiful analogy. But still there is the wound that is left. We think of the Roman soldier who was there at the first Good Friday, and he took his spear and he pierced the side of our Lord, and he caused a very savage slash across the Sacred Heart. Every sin that we commit carves its own gash across our heart. The sinner who goes to confession and is sincere in his confession may indeed and does indeed leave his guilt behind. His sin has been forgiven. But he cannot leave, and this is a part we must always remember, he cannot leave that gash that was caused by his sin. That is, the effects of his sin upon his soul. And remember that the more often we repeat our sins, the deeper that gash in our heart becomes, until it becomes a deep groove that then leads toward an evil or sinful act. Now, absolution in the confessional is the balm. It is the bandage of the fall, but it does not take away the slope down which you fell, nor, this is even more important, nor does it take away the attraction that you feel towards that particular sin. That will remain with you. And that's the part where people often fall into discouragement. They find that this attraction or this inclination towards a sin, despite all of their best efforts, they cannot overcome it. And so they fall into discouragement. But remember, something to remember for the spiritual life, that groove that was dug into your heart was put there by repeated actions, one bad action after another. And so the only way to fill it up is by repeated actions of conquering temptation. How can we do this? The practical part of this sermon. I want you to remember four R's. Resolve, recite, retreat, and recall. First, resolve. Whenever we go to confession, we know that we must have a firm purpose, firm resolution of amending our life. This is not just a mere wish to become better. This is a resolution. I am determined. I have made up my mind. I will not return to this sin. As one author put it, this determination is as strong as steel. And as another author put it, this determination is as strong-willed and unyielding and purposeful as the prow of a battleship. This is the way that it should be for us in confession regarding your resolution. We must remember that Satan is always out to swindle us, to trick us. He promises us much pleasure and happiness whenever there is temptation. But he never delivers on that promise. After the sin comes discouragement. Your conscience is bothered. So we must pray then for the grace no longer to be tricked or manipulated by the devil, but rather to be the absolute master of our soul, with a resolute, determined will not to go back to sin. So that is it for resolution. Second, recite. By recite is meant pray. If you think, or if I think, that we can be good, that we can be saints, without the grace of prayer, that is, on our own power, then we become like a man who thinks he can run his car on water instead of gas. The car needs gas to run, and we need grace. We get grace how? By prayer and by the sacraments. But we cannot receive the sacraments every single time we are tempted. However, we can pray. We can pray at any time. So when temptation blazes up, we pull that, we might call it a fire alarm box in our heart. We need help. Help beyond ourselves. We need a supernatural help. And so we find that in prayer. Resolve, recite, and thirdly, retreat. You can pray in those moments of temptation all you like, but if you stubbornly remain in that danger area, that occasion of sin, then you will perish. You would be like the man who notices his house is on fire. He goes and dials 911 for help and then goes right back down to his chair and puts his feet up. He's going to perish in the fire. So in the ordinary temptation, one author does say, God always provides a fire escape to get away from the sin, but he never provides an asbestos suit to survive in the flames. Resolve, recite, retreat, and finally, recall. Recall to mind the truths of the faith, but above all, recall how good a God is the Sacred Heart. How callous we are to hurt him by our sins. Think of how we treated our Redeemer. He came down from heaven to earth needing a home. We gave him a stable. He asked for our vote only once. It wasn't to become king. And we voted for Barabbas. He asked for a simple drink of water, and we pushed a sponge soaked with vinegar into his face as he hung on the cross. He came down from heaven, and we gave him a rag for a robe, a stick for a scepter, thorns for a crown, and a cross for his throne. And every serious sin that we commit, as St. Paul says, crucifies Christ anew. Resolve, recite, retreat, and recall. Be of good heart. We are sinners. But remember what the Sacred Heart said to Sister Josefa Menendez. He said, he told her, I want to forgive. He said, tell this to the world. I want to forgive. No matter what you have done, it cannot change my love for you. The thought of my heart, the thoughts of my heart seeks you out no matter where you have strayed. So therefore, we can never wander so far from him that he will not try to bring us back. He is still the same Christ, the same Sacred Heart that was pierced on that Good Friday. Let us then go to him, and let us more than ever, while the world offends him more than ever by their unnatural vices, let us at least try to resolve and to amend our life. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.